everybody. Jeff Jones here. Welcome to the weekly Chase Oaks Church podcast. Before we dive in, I want to encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel and download the Chase Oaks Church app. The app is the best place to catch up on messages, engage with our community, and stay in the loop with everything going on around here. Most importantly, my hope is that today's message inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey. Here we go. Well, hello, everybody. And so glad that you are here, whether you are online right now or at one of our campuses. Today is going to be awesome. This is going to be maybe the most significant message of this series in Outsiders. And I've heard this message before, and I am positive about it because I'm not the one doing it. Peter Park is, and you'll hear him in a little bit. It's going to be great. And save that, because I want you to feel that, and I want him to feel that here in a minute. But first, before we do that, I'm up here because this is kind of like a family conversation, otherwise known as a financial update. So, there's good in this and challenging in this, and it's us. So church is family. That's what we are. And if you're new here, you have to understand this is family. You belong here. And for those of us who've been around, this has been our family for many of us for a long time, and so we just need to know. So here's some parts of the update. Reimagine is the first thing I'll talk about. So reimagine is this huge step we're taking as a church, to reimagine church for a whole new era. And so at your campus, you know, there's different things going on with children's and youth and finishing out local good here at Legacy and different things, as well as starting a new campus. And all that's going really well. From a financial perspective, we're about 60% through the timeline. May is the end of that project, although some people will be giving into the next year. And right now, we've raised $9.3 million out of the $15 million. So that's about 62%. So that's kind of on pace. So that's good. And typically, in projects like this, we raise, you know, what people say is like you end up raising about 90%. We're really praying for 100%. And we'll come back around and talk about, well, how could we do that? And but let's pray that we'd be able, because some people have completed pledges, some people are not. It's some people, sometimes God makes it easy, sometimes he makes it challenging. And so let's pray for each other and that we're able to complete our pledges. And if you want to come in new, of course, you can do that as well. And I can't wait to share some things with you about Reimagine. I just can't yet. But pray for it, because there's... We needed a miracle to do one of the things that we really want to do, and it looks like that miracle is happening. It's just not solidified yet. So I wish I could do it. I want to, but I'm not. I look forward to when we can. It's pretty bonkers in a good way. So that's Reimagine. And so let's pray that we'd be able to finish that strong. And from then the rest of our budget, like our normal budget, let's talk about that. And that story is kind of mixed. So we have three big funds, the local good and global, or global good, but our global fund, and then our primary fund, or our general fund, primary fund. And global and local are incredibly healthy. In fact, they are overfunded, which is good, like for our plan, overfunded. And so like they're funded for another over a year already, and people are still giving to it. So it's tremendous good is happening locally and globally because of that. So that's a good thing, except it's like those are great. The concern is the primary fund. And the primary fund, which is the biggest fund, we just finished our fiscal year. We'll go ahead and put the slide up. There's a 5% shortfall to that, which is a lot of money at $600,000. And you think, well, yeah, but it's a $10.4 million budget. But it actually, there's not that much margin in the budget the way that works for ministry. And I think part of the, and this is one of the reasons I'm talking about it, is I think we kind of confuse each other with the way that we do that. Because when you go online, like you can do the next slide, and you, let's say you want to give one time, or you want to set up recurring giving, and say, this is what I want to give every month or whatever time period to regularly give to the church. Then you see these different funds on there. And you'll see local fund and global fund and primary fund. And when you see that, and we can see, by the way, the local and global are so big, is that you think, okay, I can give to local fund, that sounds fun, global fund, or primary fund, it's kind of a wah, wah, you know, primary, like, what is that? Like, that's boring. Like, you know, let's do local, let's do global. But I want us to understand how this works. So it's our miscommunication, so let me communicate. So the primary fund is actually the most strategic fund we have. That is the fund that allows everything to happen, that drives everything. And because that's our ministries. That's worship services and children's ministry and youth ministry and campuses and everything that happens really is the primary fund. And then over and above that is local fund and global fund. We just haven't communicated that very well. So we're actually going to change the name of the primary fund just to the Chase Oaks Church Fund, because that's what it is. That is the Chase Oaks Church Fund. And just to maybe, this is just how I think about it, how Christy and I think about it with our own giving. So when we give, you know, we talk at Chase Oaks about give, save, live, you know, what to do with your money, live on less than you make, set aside a percentage to give, to save, and then to live on. You know, we'll talk about 10, 10, 80, you'll hear that over time. When we do our giving part, or what some people call tithe, we do that to the primary fund, or now the Chase Oaks Church Fund. And then we look each year to say, over and above that, what can we give to local? What can we give to global? As well now as reimagine. And so, which I know is a lot, you know, not, but it's a huge opportunity or a huge privilege to do that. But it's not just, oh, which one do I want to do? Just think, okay, strategically, the primary fund is kind of the focus. And then, hey, what can we do over and above that? Does that make sense? It just may be different than what we're communicating. So we're going to change that a little bit, the way we communicate it. You'll see, we'll still be opportunity to give to local fund and global fund because that's important. But it'll be kind of minimized a little bit, at least for this season, especially why we're sort of overfunded in those areas for the Chase Oaks Church Fund. And for that, you know, all that means is between now and the end of the year, we just need to finish the year strong. And that's what we're going to be praying for. And I'm going to ask you to pray to that we can finish the year strong. A couple weeks ago, my Bible reading was James 5, the faithful prayers of righteous people accomplishes much. And the good news is, if you know Jesus, you're righteous. Because our righteousness does not come from ourselves. Our righteousness comes from Jesus. And when God, if you know Jesus, if when he looks at you, you're just as righteous as Jesus is, because his righteousness has been applied to your life, to your account. And so when you pray, that's why, man, we just, like, why don't we pray more? Because when we pray, stuff happens. And so let's all, as a church, I'm going to ask you to pray every day. And if you miss a day, God won't love you anymore. So I'm kidding. you can't change his love for you. But just do the best you can. If you miss a day, big deal. But let's just all try to pray daily. It's our family, right? If you're new to the church, you get a pass. But for those of us who are a regular part of this place, let's just pray every day. God, let's meet this need. And I love the fact we have a need. Most years we don't, which means we don't pray like we do when we have a need. Isn't that right? I mean, that's when we know I'm dependent on God. Like, this is God's place. He's the provider. He's, you know, it's not a strategy. It's not a, and that's why we're not approaching it that way. We're not coming up with some strategy. I mean, we will, but primarily say, why don't we pray? And so let's pray every day. And then I'm going to encourage you as part of that, just say, God, is there part of this that you want me to do? God, what do you want me to do to be part of meeting this need? Because that's how God does it. He does it through our generosity. It's a crazy generous church. I have no problem asking you to pray for this need and to pray, okay, God, what would you want me to do? Because do what God, you believe what God wants. That can be nothing, it could be a lot, or something in between. And that's the right answer for Christy and me. As we were praying about this, we're unique, in a unique situation maybe, because we've already done our Reimagine pledge, so, which, thank God. And then thought, as we were looking at our regular giving, thought, you know what, between now and the end of the year, we could do more. And so we did a little bit of math. I'm not usually good at math, but thought, what would it take? Like, could we fund one day of Chase Oaks Church, just us? And how much is it when you break it down for a day? Which we did, which is more money than tithing on what we make. We're not in a kind of church that the guy in my role makes a like this huge thing, and I'm glad for that. And so for us, it's like, okay, that's a challenge, but I think we could do it. And it's a faith journey between now and the end of the year. And that's not appropriate for most people. Like that's, for some people, that's way too much. For some people, it's way too little. For some people, it's like, what are you talking about? And all that. It's just the way we're thinking about it, but it's really been fun to think about. And so I'm just asking us all to do that. Does it make sense? So we get to see God show up. That's the good news about need. And some of you are in tremendous need, and you're like, hey, I'd love to do that. I'm just trying to pay rent. Well, we can help with that too. Let us, if you're in a dire situation, then let us know about that, because we provide for each other. So with all that, I want us to pray together and ask God to help us meet this need and see him show up the way he always does. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you as our provider, and you're good at it. And you ask us not to worry about this stuff, but be smart, be good stewards. Help us as a church to be a good steward, to plan well, all of that. And help us to be faithful. Help us to be a church that's on our knees. Help us to be a church that knows how much we need you. And I ask that you would show up in a big way between now and the end of the year. I pray you'd help us to finish Reimagine strong. You'd help us finish year end strong. And then in the process, you grow our faith. And Lord, I also thank you for this series. I thank you for Peter coming up and how you've used this message already. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, all that energy we had, let's welcome our campus pastor here, Legacy, Peter Park.
There you go. All right. Woo. Fun to follow that. All right. Well, what's up, everybody? So good to see you guys. Hey, and I want to give a shout out to Sloan Creek Woodbridge and those of you watching online, and there's a particular person in Tennessee watching online. I don't know if you know who I'm talking about, but anyways, you do. But anyways, and all you guys here, it's so awesome to be here. And if I've never met you before, my full name is Peter Park. Yes, that's my legal full name. And let me tell you, I grew up in the 70s and 80s as a kid. And I have to tell you that the easiest name to tease among children was, any guesses? Peter. Yes, that is like the most, there's more famous characters with the name Peter than any other name under the sun during that time when I was a kid. For example, and trust me, I was teased with all of them. Like the famous one, Peter, Peter, pumpkin eater. Had a wife and couldn't keep her. What is that? What is that all about? I've been married 26 years. Hopefully that doesn't come true, right? I want to keep her. She's a good one. And how about this one? Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. Honey, pickled peppers. See, Peter Piper pick. 53 years of practice. There you go. And then, of course, there's Peter Cottontail, Peter and the Wolf, Peter Pan. And, of course, the most famous Peter of them all, Peter the Great, right? No? No? Okay. Well, with the name Peter Park, Spider-Man has followed me my whole life, and it still does to this day. I'll still call, like, some customer service. Full name, please. Peter Park. Oh, Spider-Man. Yes, yes. Oh, so original. I play along, because that's their first time ever meeting a Peter Park, I guess. I don't know. But trust me, I heard it all except for some reason, Peter the Great. Everyone teased me with all the other Peters, but not Peter the Great, because no one knows about, you know, that Russian emperor that ruled for 45 years in the late 17th century, 18th century. No, you guys don't know that person? Yeah, neither did these kids, and they definitely didn't tease me, calling me Peter the Great. Well, today, I get to share in this series called Outsiders, where Jesus invites the most unlikely to join his dream team, who end up making a difference in the world. Now, last week, Jeff, our lead pastor, talked about Matthew, the tax collector, the extortionist, the sinner of sinners. And this week, guess who I get to talk about? Habakkuk. No, I'm just kidding. Peter, yes. Peter, of course, or else why was that whole setup about Peter? All right. So who is Peter in the Bible? Let's take a quick glimpse of his resume. So Peter, he was a fisherman back in the day. And back in that first century Jewish culture, fishermen, man, they were one of the least respected vocations because, I mean, it was hard, laborious work. It was dirty and it was stinky. Man, have you ever been around dead fish for a long period of time? It's pretty stinky. Peter was also one of the first guys that Jesus ever invited to join his 12 disciples. And check this out. Most people didn't know this. Peter is the most frequently mentioned disciple in the Bible, to around 220 times compared to 130 times of the remaining 11 disciples combined. I mean, that's a lot. Why? Why did Peter get talked about so much in the Bible? Maybe because his personality makes for great TV. I don't know. He goes big or goes home, right, kind of thing. Or my daughters would say, oh, he's so extra or whatever. I mean, kind of like, why is Korean dramas becoming so popular? Because the thing is, the Korean culture, Squid Game or K-pop Demon Hunter or like things like that. Korean culture. Let me just tell you real quick. I'm Korean, by the way. Korean culture real quick. Man, we laugh hard. We have fun hard. We cry hard. We yell hard. We get angry hard. Oh, shoot. Get angry hard. And we fall in love triangles hard, too. So that makes for great TV. Peter lived in these extremes, all in or all out, as we'll see in a little bit. Peter was also the only human besides Jesus to ever walk on water. Hello. Okay. But he was also the only disciple that tried to defend Jesus by killing a servant and ended up cutting off his ear. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. Peter also denied Jesus 3 times, even after Jesus predicted it. But Peter also became the first leader of the first Christian church after Jesus ascended back into heaven. And finally, according to tradition, Peter was martyred for his faith and at his request was crucified upside down because he felt unworthy to be crucified like Jesus. Quite a roller coaster life Peter lived. Now, on paper, he was definitely not an obvious pick. He was uneducated. He was brash. He often reacted before thinking anything. And then he got in trouble a lot because of it. And yet, this is the guy who Jesus picks to eventually lead the very first Christian church? Throughout this series, we're going to see how Jesus doesn't choose the qualified. Jesus qualifies the ones he chooses. And the good news is he has chosen you and me to follow him. Whether you're a current follower of Jesus or not, he is inviting all of us. Now, as Peter was among the first disciples invited to follow Jesus, he was actually in the middle of fishing. And Jesus invited him to follow him. And literally, Peter just dropped everything and just followed without looking back. So following Jesus, it doesn't start after you read the whole Bible and know everything about Christianity. Following Jesus doesn't start after you already attended church for a whole year. Now I'm ready to follow Jesus. Following Jesus starts when you take a single step toward him. And all y'all that are watching, that are here in all the campuses, you've already taken that step. You're here. And then many of you guys that I've talked to, even Googling churches around my area and finding Chase Oaks, that's a step in itself as well. Google's our friend. A lot of you guys found Chase Oaks through Google out of the millions of churches around here. So thank you, Google. Here at Chase Oaks, I always say you don't have to look the part, act the part, speak the part, or even smell the part to be a part of this family. Because you know why? We are all just messes on a mission, taking steps to follow Jesus. And whether you have a relationship with him or not yet, welcome. Peter, this uneducated, stinky from fishing all day outsider, started following Jesus without any qualifications. But he responded to Jesus' invitation by just taking a step. And this is where the roller coaster adventure begins for Peter. So let me highlight some of the interesting things that Jesus said to Peter, the most talked about disciple in the Bible. Let's start with Matthew chapter 14, verse 31. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" Now, at this time, the disciples were on a boat, and there was this massive storm that was just tossing and turning the boat, and they were freaking out. And in the distance, the disciples started seeing like some kind of silhouette figure, a man walking on the water. And then, is that Jesus? Is that a ghost? And then Peter, in his brashness, called out, "Jesus, if that's you, tell me to walk to you." Now here we go. Acting before thinking. What? There's a storm going on, and Peter has the audacity to ask Jesus to have him walk towards him on the water? So Jesus invites him. "Okay, come on over." And Peter steps out of the boat, and he actually walks on water for several steps. The only other human besides Jesus to ever do that. But then he takes his eye off of Jesus, starts realizing the storm again. "Oh my gosh, what have I done?" And he started sinking. He's like, "Save me, Jesus." And Jesus saves him. And that's when he says, "You have so little faith. Why did you doubt me?" The next one is even a bigger doozy. Matthew 16, verse 23. Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from the human point of view, not from God's." Yee, ouch. See, at this time, Jesus was predicting his death and resurrection, and Peter challenged Jesus, saying, "No, this death will never happen." Because the thing is, Peter was shocked. Like, "What? You're God. You can't die. What is that?" But he didn't understand yet that Jesus had to die on the cross in order to pay for yours and my sin. Okay, so far we have Jesus calling Peter as one with so little faith and Satan. He's on a roll, building his resume with Jesus. Let's move on. Luke chapter 22, verse 33, 34. Peter said, "Lord, I'm ready to go to prison with you and even to die with you." And Jesus said, "Peter, let me tell you something. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even know me." This was during the Last Supper, before Jesus gets arrested and crucified. And Peter publicly declares in front of all the disciples that, "Man, I got your back, Jesus, and I'm even willing to die for you." Yet Jesus, in front of the disciples, declares the opposite, and guess who ended up being right? Matthew 26, 38, 40. He, Jesus, told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Then he returned to the disciples to find them asleep. He said to Peter, "Couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour?" The thing is, this was in the Garden of Gethsemane right before Jesus gets arrested and crucified. And this is right after Peter declared that, "Jesus, I will not deny you. I'll even die for you, yet I cannot stay awake for an hour," before he gets arrested and killed. And finally, John chapter 18, verse 10 through 11. Simon Peter drew a sword and slashed off the right ear of Malchus, the high priest's slave. But Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back into your sheath. Shall I not drink from the cup of suffering the Father has given me?" So this is right after that falling asleep for an hour, that Jesus is being arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Peter tried to stop again what Jesus told him must take place, his death and resurrection. And trust me, with the sword, he wasn't going for his ear. That's too precise. He was, I don't know, like that? I don't know. That was kind of crazy, but I guess he just chopped off his ear. Now, Jesus healed that servant right there on the spot. But then this is what he said to him. Through all of Peter's lack of faith, mistakes, stumbles, brashness, chopping off an ear, denials not once, not twice, but three times, he kept on following. Following Jesus isn't always a smooth and straight road. In fact, it will never be perfectly smooth and straight. But Jesus doesn't care how much we stumble and fall as much as he cares that we get back up every time and continue to follow him. Each time Jesus called Peter out, Jesus was actually building Peter's faith up to trust Jesus in the middle of storms of life, because there were way more storms on his way. Jesus was transforming Peter's reckless brashness into a refined boldness. Jesus was working to shape and mold Peter for a greater calling to come. Now, prior to immigrating me and my family to Texas from California, the country of Texas, to join the Chase Oak staff. My last role in my previous church was interim lead pastor. The thing is, I was interim for 4.5 years. I have yet to meet someone or even hear about someone that's been interim for that long. Seriously, like anyone here? Anyone even know someone that's interim for that long? Okay, yeah, that was me. I should be in the Guinness Book. But looking back, I have zero bitterness or hurt towards my previous church because God was actually preparing me for a next greater assignment. He was preparing me for Chase Oaks. Of course, being interim for 4.5 years wasn't easy. There were points during that time that I felt like, man, they're just taking me for granted. They're just dragging their feet and making the decision whether I'm in or out or what. And there were other points where I felt entitled or deserving of the lead pastor role after being interim for so long, come on. But the longer it took, the more God was working on my heart. He revealed to me one day, interim schmitterim. I mean, I didn't literally hear those words, but that was how I interpreted what he was prompting in my heart. Interim schmitterim. Hey, no one has promised tomorrow, so focus on today and be faithful with today. We're all walking interims. I just happen to have the official title. We don't know tomorrow. So God told me also, until he calls me to my next assignment, lead as if you are the lead pastor and not just interim. So I had to get over myself, any sense of entitlement, any bitterness or pride. God was preparing me for Chase Oaks. And I realized that looking back, I'm the reason why it took 4.5 years to be finally ready for my next calling here. Now, if you've been praying for something, and it seems like God is just not answering, maybe it's because God actually is answering, but preparing you for his answer. Whether it's a job, a better job, whether it's finding the right community of friends, whether it's living out your dreams, or maybe God wants you to shift to God's dreams for you. Or maybe it's a health issue that's not going away. Or maybe it's a loved one that you've been praying for who's far from Jesus. Whatever it is, God is listening, and God is actually at work in us and around us. Because if we ain't dead, he ain't done. I'll back that up biblically. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 is where I summed up that phrase. And I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns, or when we see him face to face in heaven, if we go to heaven, go home before he returns. That last part I added myself. But it's the same principle, right? Until we meet Jesus again, he will not stop working in us. Now, not everything Jesus said to Peter was negative. So let's turn it around a little bit here. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 18, check this out. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" "Well," they replied, "some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." And then he asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock, "and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will never conquer it." Wow. That's some serious declaration from Jesus himself. And at that point, I could only imagine Peter's feeling pretty good about himself, right? And then the rest of the disciples are like, "Oh, what about me?" they're probably pretty jealous at that point. But interestingly, soon after Jesus makes this amazing proclamation about Peter, that's when Jesus ends up telling Peter, "Get away from me, Satan." Talk about bursting his bubble. Oh, the roller coaster life of Peter. So now, let's fast forward a little bit. After Jesus is crucified on the cross, he rises from the dead on Easter Sunday. He ends up living, eating, interacting, teaching his disciples and over 500 people in the span of 40 days. That's a lot of people, y'all. A lot of evidence for his resurrection. And then he ascends into heaven. And he said, "I'll be back." Not like, you know, anyways. He said it first before Schwarzenegger. Okay, let's just put it that way, for the record. So this is what happens soon after that. His disciples receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And then Peter eventually gives the very first sermon post Jesus' ascension. And we read it in Acts chapter 2. And instead of reading it all, he goes on for 27 verses and it ends with this, verse 41. "Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day." About 3,000 in all. Not too shabby. I mean, when was the last time anyone preached on this stage and 3,000 came to the door? I want to follow Jesus. I mean, that is insane. And here, the first Christian church was born. One sermon from Peter, 3,000 new followers of Jesus. Now, side note, isn't it interesting how the very first church ever was a megachurch? I don't know, I'm just saying. Don't be bashing megachurch, y'all. Like, you know, this is the first one. Anyways. So with this, we see how Jesus refined Peter's reckless brashness into refined boldness. All right, so what are some key lessons that we could learn about Jesus through Peter's life? Well, one, Jesus doesn't invite us to follow him once we clean up our mess, stop making mistakes, and become flawless. Jesus invites us to follow him as we are, and then uses our mess, mistakes, and flaws to transform us so then we can make a difference. Y'all, when I was a kid, my elementary school gave 2 grades per subject, and people in my generation, you remember that, right? One was an academic grade, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, right? And the other grade was a citizenship grade, behavior grade, remember that? It starts out outstanding, then satisfactory, and then needs improvement, and then unsatisfactory, right? And believe it or not, I got A's, and every once in a while, an Asian F, a B, for my academic grades. what is this? However, I regularly got N's and U's in the citizenship grade. Remember, needs improvement and unsatisfactory. And not only that, there's a comment section next to it. And the comment section would typically read, "Talks too much, needs to calm down." I know you are surprised about that. What? From Peter? No way. Now, I'm pretty sure I'm ADHD, and I've never been fully diagnosed, but it's kind of low. Come on, it's pretty. And back then, we just didn't really diagnose that. That wasn't like a common thing. It was a known thing, but not a common thing. I mean, I would easily get distracted in the middle of class, and then because of my loud voice, I would be the one getting caught instead of my friends and who know how to whisper, and I don't know how to do that. Seriously, that's not even part of my notes. You don't know how many times I went to a restaurant or Walmart or Costco. "I heard you, Peter. I knew you were here. I heard you in the distance." Really? Is that? Am I that loud? And you? I don't know. Anyways, so if you, yeah. Anyway, okay. Back to the focus. My ADHD moment. Back to the focus. Okay. Now, this is my dose. If you guys ever owned a puppy or played with them, you know this thing called zoomies. Where the puppy has so much energy, they don't know what to do with it. They just run in big circles in the backyard, just over and over again, just crazy. Well, let me tell you, I had zoomies as a child. I kid you not. Like, my dad has a home video, you know, one of those home videos that doesn't have sound. in a home video. And my sister and brother just like, hi. And I'm in the background, just going crazy. I was tempted to show it, but it looks like I'm possessed and I didn't want to like stumble out. So I kid you not, that's what I'm doing. Like, what am I doing back there? I had zoomies, guys. Woo! Fast forward. And here we are today. Look what God has done. God has refined my mess. And the irony, I'm now a professional talker with a lot of energy. Oh my gosh, take that citizenship grade. U's and N's. I'll take more U's and N's any day, man. Come on. See, God is always at work, whether we know it or not. He uses our mess to transform us, to refine it, to one day make a difference. Another lesson. Failure is never the end. The key is to get back up and continue to follow Jesus. Peter denied Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. And that's after he declared in front of everyone that I will not deny you. I'll even die for you. And when the rooster crowed and Peter and Jesus made eye contact, he remembered that conversation only hours before. And he ran away and wept bitterly. But the thing is, eventually he got back up and continued to follow Jesus. These failures transformed him and made him more confident in Jesus than being overconfident in his own abilities. Let me ask you, do you feel like you've done something in your life to disqualify you from being able to follow Jesus or maybe serve him? Maybe it's that regrettable sin that you committed and you just can't find it in your heart to forgive yourself. Maybe it's feeling inadequate. How can God use someone like me? Maybe you struggle in life and you just don't feel worthy to offer up anything. If we never did anything to qualify us for Jesus' invitation to follow him, there is nothing we can do to ever disqualify us from following Jesus. And Peter is one example. But man, there are so many more examples of men and women of faith in the Bible that has one thing in common. They're all flawed. They all make mistakes. They have messes, and God chose to reveal them in the Bible. Let me give you some examples. There were those that committed deception, betrayal, abuse, cheating, hypocrisy, backstabbing, lying, drunkenness, adultery, murder. I can go on and on. Wow, what a rap sheet. And this list are the most famous people in the Bible that are talked about a lot by God, who are his followers. Now, about 11 and a half years ago, my first year in Chase Oaks, man, it was a tough refining year. Like, for example, I would preach, and then I showed a YouTube video clip. I thought it was hilarious, and a lot of guys did. Thought it was hilarious too, but there was a pocket of Chase Oakers that really felt offended. And that kind of rocked me a little bit. And there was another time in a staff meeting, I said something that was kind of racially insensitive, and thank God I got the feedback, but I was like, whoa, okay, sorry, oh man, eesh. And then, no surprise, but there was other brash things that I said or did that were later on mistakes along the way, and during that whole time, man, I got called out, and that was good. And I thank God for that, but that rocked me. Because in my previous church, I was like the elder statesman. I was like in my late 30s, and everyone's like in their 20s. And so they just trusted that anything I said and did was okay, I guess. I don't know. But I never got called out in my previous churches. But here, you guys are just mature, refined, wise people. So thank God I got called out on these things. But during that time, that first year, man, I lost a lot of confidence. I kind of lost myself. Like, who am I? Who is Peter Park at Chase Oaks? And then I end up shriveling into this little shell of myself, being very cautious in what I am and what I do so I don't upset anyone and not really be myself. So then Jeff one day, he asked me out to lunch. And what's cool, Jeff, like he typically will invite the whole campus pastor, but this day he only invited me. I'm like, oh, what's going on? I'm wondering, is it good, is it bad? I don't know. And then he's like, hey, Peter, so I've noticed lately, like, you're kind of not yourself. Is there something going on? I'm like, oh, shoot. And then I just started, my last year and a half in that moment. And then Jeff responded in a way, allergies, falls here. Jeff responded in a way that gave me, that spoke life into me like never before. He said, Peter, when we hired you, we didn't hire you to become like someone else. We hired you to be you. Let me tell you, I want you to err on being you. I got your back. And hey, yeah, when you mess up or whatever, hey, we'll refine that. We'll give you feedback and we'll hone it in. But hey, you be you. And oh, man. And I was like this bird caged in this little small cage. And at that moment, I felt like I'm this, like this eagle. set free to soar above anything. And that was like almost 10 years ago, y'all. There's a reason why I'm here today. Man. See, if you guys been here for a while, you know, I just can't wait for the invitation, opportunity to wear something crazy on stage, right? You guys been here at the movies, man, every week is a crazy costume, different hair color, and so forth. There's a reason behind that. See, if I believe that if I'm the craziest person in the room, y'all feel normal. And my heart is for people that do not go to church, or it's been a long time since they've been to church, where they're coming here all scared, oh, am I gonna fit? Am I gonna stand out? People gonna think I'm weird? And they look at me and like, oh, I'm okay, I'm good. Come as you are is intentional, y'all. So that's where my heart is, and I get to be that. They egg it on, actually. I can't wait for my next costume. Like, come on, give me something. There's a reason behind that, y'all. And everything that we do, the heartbeat of Chase Oaks, how do we make it where people can feel like that I don't need to be qualified, I already belong, I don't have to check these boxes before I get loved by Jesus. Jesus loves me the way I am, even as messed up as I am, as much as I've screwed up, as much as I've failed. Man, you don't know me. You don't know me, Peter. That's true. But you know what? Jesus does it. He still loves you anyways. And the invitation to follow him is for everyone. He doesn't wait till we're qualified. He qualifies us with his death on the cross and his resurrection on Easter Sunday. And then once we choose to just take a step, and say yes to Jesus, now, he's like, now let me watch me transform you through your messes, through your mistakes. Watch me restore, rebuild, reclaim. He loves all those re-words, right? He loves that. Reconcile. I didn't get a good grade on my SAT vocabulary, so I'm limited on my vocabulary. So fill the blanks, re-whatever. If it's positive, that's the business that Jesus is in. He doesn't wait till it's all repolished and now enter my fold. No. He came not for the perfect. And if you're perfect, you may not belong here. And if you're looking for the perfect church, don't go to it because you'll ruin it. Because none of us are perfect. There's no perfect church. It's filled with people like me. Maybe not as crazy as me, but people like me. But you know what? We follow the perfect one that makes us perfect, not because of what we do, but because what he did for us. And that is free. No qualifications, no check boxes, no pay at the door. You just say yes to this free gift because he's not gonna force his love on us. He's gonna offer it, but he doesn't force it because love must be our own, true love must be a decision. And it we just have to say, okay, I don't know much, but I know I want to check you out, Jesus, so I'm just going to say yes. And that's the start of a brand new life for the rest of eternity. And let me close with this final passage. As some of us may still be struggling, I know, I mean, that sounds good, but it's hard to believe it. Well, let me give you another passage to help that. Romans 8, 38, 39. I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, nor angels or demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So y'all, as we live this life messing up again, falling short again, making another mistake again, may we get back up and choose and continue to choose to take steps to follow Jesus. And know that if we ain't dead, he ain't done. Will you join me in prayer? As your eyes are closed and as we just kind of take some time to listen to the Holy Spirit, what step is Jesus inviting you to take to follow him? Maybe there's some in this room that's been curious about this Christianity thing, this Jesus thing, this church thing. Why not today? Why not? You don't have to know everything. You don't have to clean up everything. No. It's just saying, yes, I want to start today. I want to start taking a step towards you, Jesus. I want to start following you and see where this takes me. And maybe today's that day. Maybe for other of us, it's time to get in the game. We've been a fan for a while, but man, God is inviting you to get in the game. Why? Not because he needs you, he wants you. Not because churches need volunteers. No, it's an opportunity to grow, to get on the front lines, to see what God is doing on the front lines and see how God uses all of us messes on a mission to change the world. Or maybe for some of us, it's to stop doing life alone. Join a group where you could be known by others and others to know you. And then check this out, people could potentially speak life into you the way that Jeff's spoken to me. And then you have an opportunity to speak life into them. What is Jesus inviting you today as your next step to follow him? Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you took a significant step to come off your throne in heaven, to come down on earth as baby Jesus on Christmas morning, and to roam and be with us and live with us and be tempted like us, yet never sin, and empathize with our pain and our suffering and the brokenness of this world. You get it. You proved it. And then to die for us so that we don't have to die and pay the penalty of our sin. But you didn't just die. You rose again from the dead, proving that you have power and authority over death. And that's why we have hope that there is eternal life waiting for us on the other side of heaven with you. So God, thank you that your love is greater than any sin. Your love is greater than any mistake. Your love is greater than any mess or mistake. And your love says, come, I invite you, follow me, and then let's go on this journey of transformation together and change the world for good. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. And thank you that you love us no matter what. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.